How do you take a unit plan and translate it into daily lessons? Today's episode is a leveling up episode where I coach Liz, a Spanish teacher in the northeast of the US. Translating a unit plan into daily lessons is the area where she wants to level up her teaching practice. So let's start the conversation. Are you a language teacher looking for some reassurance that what you're doing in the classroom is on the right track? Or maybe you're looking for some ways to teach even more effectively? If you're one or the other or somewhere in between, you've landed in the right place. This is the World Language Classroom Podcast with your host, me, Joshua Cabral. You're about to get tips, tools, and resources so that your students continue to rise in proficiency and communicate with confidence. Let's jump in. Vamos, allons-y. Hello, my friends. Bonjour, mes amis. Hola, mis amigos. Welcome to the World Language Classroom Podcast. I am Joshua Cabral, and thank you again for being the awesome teacher you are because you're listening to a podcast about language teaching. And so thank you so much for being a great teacher and for going that extra step as well. So today's podcast episode is a leveling up episode. So this is a teacher coaching episode where I have an incredible teacher with me because this is a teacher who is looking to improve her teaching craft and to have a conversation about how to just take it that extra step and do it a little better. And so I'm incredibly appreciative of the opportunity to have this conversation and to share it out. Because I always say that if one person is maybe challenged in that area, there are a lot of people that are. So let's have the conversation in the trenches and really figure it out. And today we're going to be talking about unit plans, you know, so different things that can happen with unit plans. So joining me today is Liz, and she is a Spanish teacher, and she is in the Northeast Corridor here on the East Coast, where I am as well. And so, Liz, welcome to the World Language Classroom Podcast. So great to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. I gave a little teaser about the fact that we're going to be talking about unit plans. Can you talk to us about what is that kind of challenge area when it comes to teaching from a unit plan for you?
I think there's two prongs and we're going to focus on one today. But first thing is that I've been creating them in a vacuum. I've been learning about proficiency teaching and proficiency-based teaching and then doing it on my own and seeing what works, right? And then from that, I always feel like when I move into the unit, I always have to really replan midway through. And I feel like I'm never balancing things. And then I'm also feeling that tug of war, right, between more grammar-based, can students do the grammar versus the more, are we doing the modes of communication? Are we like building based on where they're at? And some of that is administrative, of course.
And so when you mentioned that, the balance there, so you're looking at the balance of there are certain standards and expectations, and then there's what you're learning about proficiency and trying to balance those two approaches.
That is one of the pieces. And the other piece is when I'm like looking at, okay, now I'm trying to do this proficiency thing. Am I getting the balance of input that I need? Am I doing this or am I just, this is what I came up with and I'm throwing it together.
Right. So that's the area we'll focus on. But I just wanted to make sure when I heard you say balance, I wanted to make sure I was understanding that. And when you said that you're teaching in a vacuum, does that mean you feel like you're kind of doing this on your own in a vacuum or units are done in a vacuum? What did you mean by that?
So I just am shifting between teaching contexts. And so where I was, it was a very small program and there was nothing where I came in. So I did everything, adjusting to my students and really figuring it out on my own. And now I'm looking towards a different context where it's more like, make sure you cover the grammar.
So we'll maybe we can talk about that balance a little bit. So if we focus in specifically on the idea that you have a unit plan that you're teaching from, and you're looking at the day-to-day, and you mentioned that you get halfway through or so, and you feel like you're replanning, right? So if we look at that as our starting point, and that's where a bit of a hurdle is. So can you think of like a specific example, like where you ended up in the midst of a unit and you felt like, oh, I have to revisit? Like, what was it that was happening that made you feel like you needed to replan and couldn't keep going as originally planned?
I think I tend to be overly ambitious.
Okay.
Thematically. Mm-hmm. And I think I struggle when I'm planning things out. How do I make like the vocab overlap to recycle it throughout the unit, right? So that we're doing something different and new, but also not doing 20 million things. And then I tend to really want to, I still want to cover the grammar because mm-hmm. That was my initial training, and that's also often the demands. So jamming too much in.
And so being overly ambitious, it means that they're with the amount of content that you wanted to cover within a unit?
Yes.
Okay. And so when we're looking at units, we can look at paring down some of the content in that there. And so if we look at when you're in that situation where you feel like, oh, okay, there's a lot to do here and there's so many hours in the day and so many weeks in the year and being able to get there. So if we're going to talk about that hurdle and some ways of looking at that, but if you were able to say, look at January or February, and you have this ideal situation going on in your classroom where you're not feeling overly ambitious, or you're not feeling like you have to replan, but the unit is pretty well planned out and it's going well and you're feeling confident about it. Like, what would that feel like in your classroom to have that kind of situation?
I mean, it's hard to imagine because this is the corner I back myself into a lot.
Right.
Uh-huh. But I think it would allow more space for play with my students, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
No, absolutely.
I think it would allow more space for play, and I think it would... But mm-hmm. I mean, there's just always more space to build them up. And I think that would be better. And play with the culture more, right? Mm-hmm. If in a more clear way. mm-hmm. So it feels less helter-skelter.
Okay, so I think that a good goal that we could look at is having that opportunity where in your classroom, you're not feeling so always needing to be on the treadmill of covering content and grammar, that you want to leave time to enjoy the language and engage in culture, which feels like you're not having the time to do that now. So we need to find a way in meeting that goal is to have our daily lessons and our units be pared down a little bit, still covering a certain amount of content, but leaving that opportunity to enjoy the language, which feels like maybe you're not having the opportunity to do right now. So does that sound like a good goal to work with, is that we will get to that point where you're going to have an opportunity to enjoy the space rather than feeling like you still have more to cover?
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That is a great goal. And that is a much more fun sounding goal than planning units, right? So we're gonna plan units in a way that allows for that. So in terms of assessments, just so I have the context, the end of unit assessments that you're given, are you planning on, and I know you're in a new teaching context, but you think you'll be in a situation where you're giving common assessments, or will you have the freedom to create your own assessments?
It's a little bit unclear to me. Was told that they did very traditional, like exams and things like that. And mm-hmm. I was like, wait a second, I have done performance. I've broken, what I have been doing is breaking up performance assessments, like doing an interpretive earlier and then in different mm-hmm. stages. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I'll have some room to do that, but mm-hmm. I think that I'll still be asked to do some more traditional things.
Well, I think that when you're in that sort of situation that you want to make friends, right? So you want to make sure that your colleagues are, you want to be collegial, and it's hard to go into a new situation where you have a different way. And if you just say, oh, this is the different way, that could be a little challenging sometimes. So there's going to be a period of a both and, you know, and I deal with this in my own classroom when students move on beyond the program that I teach in. They often go to very grammar translation based programs and they have to place in by knowing a bunch of grammar. And that's not the way I teach. Yet I know that they won't place well unless they have that. So I've had to make peace with teaching some of the grammar, but I'm doing it for that purpose and not for the proficiency sake. So sometimes you just have to play with that balance a little bit and not feel like a fraud because you're doing it or feel bad because you're doing it. Sometimes we're just put in those types of situations where that's going to happen. The best thing to do is try to do the both and have ways of bringing in colleagues so that they can see and experience, because when they hear about it without seeing it, a lot of times it's hard to get on board, you know, so it's an opportunity there to let them see what a proficiency-based classroom looks like. And then you can start to look at common assessments. And it's easier said than done. And going into a new place that's, you know, being the new person is a little challenging. But, you know, try to look at that sort of both and. But if we look a little more specifically at just some suggestions about the daily classes and the unit plans, is when you have your full unit, that if you have done a unit and you feel like there's way too much in there, I think you should start by looking at what the objectives of the unit are. If you think of a class you've taught, any grade, any particular class course that you've taught, if you think of a unit that you've done, it's a good thing to always have can-do statements, right? So that students know what they're going to be able to do at the end of this unit. So have you worked with can-do statements?
I do. I always feel like I'm a little bit general.
So I think that the can-do statements is a good starting point, because I think that you kind of named the challenge right there when you said you think you're kind of general. And I think the more general they are means the more vague they are and the more content you're going to put in. So I think a good starting point would be look at your can-do statements and try to make them more specific so that it's not just say what I like to eat or something. That's a random can-do statement, because that could be anything, anywhere, anytime. But it could be something like I can read a menu at a restaurant where I go out with my friends, which would be different than where I go with my parents. The language involved there would be very different. So you don't have to look at formal language. You can just keep the language informal. It can be not so many vocabulary words about food. So I think the more specific you get with the can-do statements, then your activities and your content is going to be a little more pared down. And that anytime you are planning a lesson, that you don't feel like you have to cover all of this material, because you can always just go back to asking yourself, does this help them get to that can-do statement? And if it doesn't, then it's not necessary there. So you can take it out and do something fun instead, which is what you were looking for there. So I think the first thing is to start with making the can-do statements a little more focused and less general, so that you don't feel like you have so much content that you have to put in there. And then also, I think what happens when can-do statements are too generalized is that it feels like it's all just one unit and then you're done with that unit. And if you make them, say, I'll go back to the food unit that I just mentioned, and rather than it just being one unit, it can actually be three units over 4, 5, 6 weeks even. But the can-do statements are different. You're using different language. You have different objectives about what you're doing with that vocabulary. So in the end, they possibly will have all those structures of vocabulary that you originally had in there, but they're pared down into different units because you have more specific. And you could do something where you start with informal language, then more formal language, and, you know, different places that they're going and where they're eating that way. So
could you just give me an example of like what would a contrasting unit there, just like a can do would be for one and then a can do for another, just so I can see what you mean?
I'll keep with the food unit here. And so if you have one where the unit is maybe about food that is in their everyday lives. So it could be a unit about what school lunch looks like in different countries, what they have in their lunch, what different students in your class have for lunch. Some of them have lunch at school. Some of them bring their lunch. You know, some of them are vegetarian, but the food that they eat in that scenario. So I can say what I would like or what I need to purchase at the store or what I need to ask my parents to get at the store for my lunch, or I don't really care for what is served in the cafeteria at school. Here are some suggestions for things that I would prefer. See, it's very personal, first person language that they're using, and it's vocabulary, food vocabulary that's within their world. So that could be one unit. Then another unit, also based on food or culinary habits, then you can look outside and start looking at if you're traveling to a different place and you were in a restaurant. You're going to use a lot different language when you're not just talking about your own personal preferences and what you eat. When you're in a restaurant, you have to use more formal language. Or if you are in a market buying something, then you need to talk about prices. Whereas when you're talking about the cafeteria at school, you're not using prices. And if it's all inclusive in one unit, then you're on the treadmill of all the content and all the vocabulary. But if you can separate them and put a cultural piece on it, where that first one would be about, you know, school lunches in different countries, including your own. And then the second one would be a more formal-like dining situation. If you went to a restaurant in your town, your city, or if you were in Mexico City, and what those menus would look like, and what time people are eating. So you can put all the cultural pieces on there as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, that really makes it. I kind of do some of that sequencing sometimes, but as we're just doing food right now, so the division makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, break it into two, even three units and then stretch it out a little bit. And I say stretch it out doesn't mean like so it gets boring, but it allows you to do more fun activities and talk more about culture rather than feeling like you have to cover all of that within one particular unit. And so the other suggestion I would have in there, so start with those can-do statements. And then when you have your unit, to actually plan backwards with the days. And the first time you do it, it's going to take some time. But once you have it, you have your template to go with it. So you could sort of say, okay, here are my can-do statements. These are the contexts of what we're going to do. So ideally, and again, not sure of what your situation is going to be in terms of assessments, but can you create the assessment first? So no matter what you do, you always ask yourself, is this in response to where the students are going with the can-do statements at the end? And again, and if it's not, then it's not something that is going to be worthwhile to that particular unit. Could fit in another unit, just not that in that particular unit there. So you might plan back and say, this is going to be an 8-day unit, and start by having like 8 days, 8 boxes, and put one thing in each box. Like there's going to be a day that we're really going to focus on culture. This is a day where we're really going to focus on the first person. This is, we're going to talk about preferences, and make sure that you have everything lined up there, you know, and have it in a way that what you do on day one is not done after day one. It's always recycled onto day two. You're just adding more onto it, and purposely put the fun in the schedule. To make sure that you do it, to make sure that you have those parts that are going to be interesting for students, you know, and not just plan in a way that you do the things that are really intriguing and compelling for students when you have time, but if you actually plan it in there. And I think if you start by paring down the can-do statements and planning backwards from there, that you'll find that you do have some time for students to enjoy the language and play with the language a little bit. The other part about the daily lessons is, you know, find those in terms of what like was fun and compelling and engaging. Like find what are those 4 or 5 go-to activities that students enjoy, and you can actually just swap out the structures and vocabulary with them. And the more they do them, figure out which are the ones they really like, figure out which ones they like, and then kind of make those part of your lesson plans so that they know that's coming up and they're actually looking forward to it. And it's also using the structures and vocabulary of the lesson, you know, so that's just another way of looking at how you're doing the planning as well. Is that making sense to you with the planning towards the unit that way?
Yeah. And I always think about backwards planning, but then when I think about my daily lesson planning, I like do the big idea and then I'm like, okay, so tomorrow I'm doing what? So starting at the end, as one does when one goes backwards at the daily level is obvious, but good tip.
When we often think of backwards planning, we think about the assessment piece, but put it in. And I think it's as important to schedule in the intriguing, compelling, fun part, because we're teaching, you know, teenagers and middle school students and stuff. So this is a question of keeping them engaged and planning for that in there. So in terms of looking at a little bit of an action plan for you and keeping those things in mind, I like to look at it as like, what's something for this week? And I know you might not be in school yet, but sort of like a more immediate thing and then a more long-term thing. So for the sort of this week more immediate, I would say to start by looking at those can-do statements, like take some that are already existing that you've used and see if you can start by breaking that into two units and making them more specific. No matter what the topic is, it might be good to do it with food because we talked about that, but it can be on any topic. So I would say that's the first thing to do. Your existing can-do statements, break it into two units, make them more specific, and then you'll feel a little less like you're on that treadmill, and it'll give you a little more time there. And then in terms of a more long term, like in the coming weeks, is to eliminate the things that don't respond to the can-do statements of the unit. Make sure that everything that you're doing is going to get them towards that can-do statement. If it is to do some sort of project about school lunches, then take out the stuff about a restaurant in that unit because it doesn't respond to that. Don't eliminate it completely from your curriculum, but put it in a different unit, you know, because when we add all that stuff in, it's taking up time and not responding to the end. So can-do statements and for the more immediate, and then looking at eliminating those parts that don't directly respond to the can-do statements of a given unit. So that was a lot of information to take in there. So what's something that like you're thinking that's like resonating with you, that's making sense for you?
I think the examples are really clear in how to incorporate the culture and be specific and not like feel overwhelmed that I have to think through every single thing while I'm like sketching out my first ideas, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so I think those examples like will help me push towards getting more specific so that I can do that.
Thank you so much, Liz, for this opportunity to talk shop with you. I'm going to send you some notes on everything we talked about so that you have it to refer to. I'll even include some links on there to some blog posts or previous episodes of the podcast that might be helpful to listen to. And I'll check in with you in a couple of months and see where we are. And maybe we'll have another conversation to check in once things are on the road with it. But I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about your teaching. Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you.
What insights or inspiration did you take away from that coaching session? If you want to dive deeper into your own teaching practice, consider joining me for a Leveling Up episode. Just click the link in the show notes and we can set it up. You'll also see a link while you're there for Talking Points, my weekly email newsletter with tips and resources for language teaching. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the World Language Classroom Podcast. Be sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening so that you never miss an episode. Let's keep the conversation going on social media. Connect with me on X, aka Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, @WLClassroom. And for even more valuable resources, visit my website, WLClassroom.com, where you'll find over 300 blog posts about language teaching. So stay inspired, keep growing, and continue making a difference in your language classroom.